All right, we're starting here at the top of Ayin Vav Amud Aleph. Here the Gemara is continuing with a issue that was raised before. The Gemara just posited one question against this premise, and now the Gemara is going to posit the second question against the thesis that the Braisa has raised, or the limud that the Braisa had raised. And the Braisa had said that the Zcharim kinekevot, right, that the males are like the females. And from that we learned that there's some sort of hekesh between whatever is on the share of the woman should be similar or exact by the share of the father. So now, the Gemara asked yesterday a question, well, if that's the case, right, Emima is a surah, Emimo should also be a surah. Just like her grandmother is a surah, so too his grandmother should be a surah, but we know his grandmother was only a din in Emimo. From his maternal grandmother was only a din in Shniot La'arayot or a din in Derabonon. So the answer of Abaye who has a pasuk, and we had Ravo who says that there's no limud. So we have a similar type of question and similar set of answers today, which is 2, 4, 5 lines down. It says, E, Mahu Kalato Asura, Afhi Kalata Asura. So if you want to have this hekesh between Zecharim and Nekevot and to have them the same way, it's a two-way street. So too over here. Just like him, his kalato, his daughter-in-law, is asura to him, then afhi, then his wife, his wife's daughter-in-law, should also be asura, which is basically be his stepson's wife. His stepson's wife, that should be also be asura. Well, that we know is not the case, because we had this right earlier in the Masechta, that the chorgo, right, Eshet Chorgo is permissible. It is not the problematic Eshet Chorgo. So how could it be here? If you're going to make this equation of Kalato to Kalato, then you're going to end up trying to be Osir, something that we know is not Asur for him. So Abaye says, again, Abaye uses a Pasuk, Amar Abaye, Amakra, Eshet Bin Chahi. That it's Eshet Bin Chahi, Mishum Eshet Bin Cha, Ata Mechaivo, Vi Ata Mechaivo, Mishum Eshet Bino. So when it comes to kalato, right, it says in the pasuk in Achrimot, it says ervat kalatcha lo tegale, eshet binchahi lo tegale ervata. So the binchahi, according to Abaye, is an exclusion. So therefore, it's bincha and not mishum eshet bina, right, the wife of your stepson. So that the Gemara says, Abaye says, there's a miut min pasuk. Eino chanami, if you had to make the hekesh, or the limud of the braisa that zecharim kinekevot, you would have learned it, but we have a specific miut, like halatcha, that it only applies to bincha, it does not apply to bino. Rav Amar, ben amam amar don mina umina, ben amam de don mina v'uki ba'atcho lo atcho. Doesn't matter, Rav says you can't have this limud, the same thing that Rav said yesterday, that it doesn't matter how you view the gzeira shava, whether you view a gzeira shava as making a limud and then learning everything from where you're learning, or whether the Gezeirah Sheva just teaches you the din, but the context in which you found teaches you the onesh in this case. Neither one of them will work as a limud. Why? The one who says when you bring over Gezeirah Sheva, you bring everything. I mean, but the whole limud is learned from the other place. Then, mahu kalato asura. Afhi nami kalata asura. So here will be the limud. Just like his daughter-in-law is asur, so do her daughter-in-law will also be asur. Umina. Now you can learn the din from him, because that's the source. Mahu biskila, kalato, for his kala, the din is a din in skila. Afhi, nami biskila. So too, her daughter-in-law will also be a din in skila. That's because in Parshat Kedoshim it says, Isha sheishkavet kalato, mot yumetu shnehem, tevelasu demehem bum. And we know from earlier in the Masechta that demehem bum is a code word for skila. We learned that out from Balo v'Yidoni. So demehem bum means you get skila for a kalato. So just like for his kalato, you get skila. So too for her kalata, you will also get skila. So Rabbah says, ikal mifrach. So the man d'amar skila chamura. According to one who says that skila is the more chamur, meaning the rabbanon who thinks skila is more chamur than sereifa, then ikal mifrach. Maluhu shekein imo b'skila. Right, in his side of the ledger, his mother, if he's, you know, if he has erva or rayot with his mother, then he gets a din of skila. On the other hand, tumar behi, she ima b'sreifa. On the other hand, if it's her mother, mean chamuto, there's a din in sreifa. That's what we learned yesterday. Chamuto, aim, chamuto, they're all in a din of sreifa. As opposed to his mother, which is a din in skila. So how could you compare them? Meaning that if skila is more chamur, and you're trying to learn from one to the other, well, the male's she'er is more chamur, because for his mother he gets skila, and for his mother-in-law he only gets sreifa. So how can you now take the din of kalato and apply it to kalata? Va'od, another question. Bita b'sreifa, v'kalata b'skila. Right, so wait a minute. Now what you can have, an unusual, you have a wild situation, which is that the stepdaughter has a din in sreifa. The stepdaughter-in-law has a din in skila. I mean that the daughter, who is the blood relative of the woman of your wife, the stepdaughter, only has a din in sreifa for arayot. But the son, I mean the stepson who marries a woman, that daughter-in-law is going to be b'skila. So it's the one, the blood relative, direct relative, the daughter only gets sreifa. The kalato gets skila. So you're going to have an unusual circumstance, which is that the one who's closer gets the lower punishment. Somebody says, wait, that's not a good question. Why? Hu ba'atzmo yochiach. That's true of he himself. Why is that? The bito b'sreifa, his own daughter is a din in sreifa, and kalato b'skila, and his daughter-in-law gets skila. So that's not a proof. We have that already in his she'er, which just happens to be the case. You're right. The daughter is sreifa, and the daughter-in-law is skila. So that's not a problem. El mahu. So now here's the other pircha. Mahu lo chalakta bo benimo the kalato. Afi lo tachlok ba benimo the kalata. Just like by him, his mother and the daughter-in-law have the same din, which is that his mother is b'skila and his daughter-in-law is b'skila. So to her, her mother is with sreifa, her daughter-in-law is going to be b'skila. So it's inconsistent. So the fact that you don't have that consistency between mother and daughter-in-law, that's a pircha. So now the man d'amar sreifa chamur, according to Rabbi Shimon, says that sreifa is more chamur than skila. Mihai kushia lo nidonin. Then the first question obviously is not a question, because we don't have the problem of kal and chomer. But the second question is a question, which is that you'll have an inconsistency between mother and daughter-in-law for him and mother and daughter-in-law for her. His mother and daughter-in-law are the same din of skila. Her mother and daughter-in-law will have her mother be sreifa and her daughter-in-law be his wife's mother and his wife's daughter-in-law will have different dinim, which is one, the mother will have sreifa and the daughter-in-law will have skila. So that inconsistency, we don't learn it. According to the one who says, learn it out from there and then put it in the context. Mahu kalato asura, afi kalata asura. Just like his daughter-in-law is asura, so to her daughter-in-law will be asura. Vuki ba'atro, but put it in its location. Hatam hu debiskila. That over there, by his daughter-in-law, it's skila. Aval hocha b'sreifa. Over here, she'll be a din in sreifa, because that's the context in which we found. Kedashkan b'ima. Just like we find by his wife's mother, by his mother-in-law, that the din is sreifa. So to her daughter-in-law will have a din of sreifa. In the stepson's wife, the daughter-in-law will have a din of sreifa. So the Manda Amar skila chamura. According to one who says skila is more chamura, according to Rabbanan who says skila is more chamura than sreifa, ikal mifrach. They again have the same pircha, which is mahu shkeni mo b'skila tomar behi shima b'sreifa. How can you learn from him to her? His mother has a din of skila, her mother has a din of sreifa. So how can you learn from the cow from the chomer? How can you learn her, which is the cow from the chomer, who says the din's the same? Vod mahu chalakta bo ben bito the kalato. By him, there's a difference between his daughter and his daughter-in-law. His daughter is a din in sreifa. His daughter-in-law is a din in skila. Afi tachlokba. Right, so too, she should have a different din between her daughter and her daughter-in-law. But the way you're learning now, both the daughter, which is the stepdaughter, gets sreifa, and the stepdaughter-in-law also is a din in sreifa. Now the exact same din, they both get sreifa, because you're learning from the context, right, which tells you that it's all sreifa. So the mandar marami sreifa chamura. Of course, when it says sreifa chamura, mahay kushaloni donin. So from him, the first question won't be meaningful, because we're not learning from the chomer to the cow, we're learning from the cow to the chomer, so that's fine. The second question will be problematic, which is that there's no differentiation between the daughter and the daughter-in-law. Meaning that for him, daughter is b'sreifa, daughter-in-law is b'skila, whereas for his wife, the stepdaughter is a din in sreifa, and now the stepdaughter-in-law will also have a din in sreifa. So because of that, Rava says there's no way to learn it, because it's, again, it's a Sarah Shavar, a hekesh, It's a logical argument, but it's not mufneh, so therefore we're meshiv, we're allowed to ask logical questions against it. And since we have logical questions against it, even if you wanted to, the din would not work. And that's what the Gemara said. In both of these cases, Rava has the same opinion, which is that you, even though you'd like to learn the din because it's charim and akevot, nevertheless you wouldn't be able to learn the din because there'd be some sort of inconsistency or logical break in the limud, and therefore we don't allow you to learn it, and he doesn't need a pasuk because of that, like Abaye, who just says it's a zeres hakatuv of imchahi or binchahi, that says only by, you know, harima, only by his son or his, basically his daughter-in-law will it apply. Okay, now, the Gemara now asks a question. Bito bi anusuto minayin. A individual who raped a woman, and from that rape, he produced a daughter, so he's not married to this woman, but he has a daughter that is really his daughter. I mean, it's his blood daughter, but he's not married to her. So, Amar Abaye, kavachomer. So wait, it's no problem, that's a kavachomer. Al bat bito anush, al bito lo koshikein. If he's punished for his granddaughter, wouldn't he certainly be punished for his daughter? Now that's a derivative of the pasuk. If you remember, we read the pasuk by a zachar, which we read yesterday, which is in Vayikra Yitchat, again in Parashat Achrim, it says, Ervat bat mincha u bat bitcha lo tegale ervatan ki ervatcha heina. You're not allowed to have arayot with bat bincha and bat bitcha. That means your granddaughters, whether through your son or your daughter. But over here, no daughter is mentioned. It's just granddaughters. We said that we have the limud of Chazal on that pasuk because that's talking about anusato. Why do we know it's talking about anusato? Because we don't need it to be talking about his own children. If he's married to the woman, you already have a din by ervat ishal vita lo tegale, bat binov et bat bita. Right? So this is a woman and a daughter. So now, it doesn't matter if she's your wife or not your wife, but either way, if she's married to you, she's also Ishal Vita. So that we already have. So what is this? What's the din over here? The din over here is from Bat Bincha, Bat Bincha. Chazal say that's me, Anusato. So that's what the Gemara is asking over here. The Pasuk speaks about Bat Bincha and Bat Bincha, which are granddaughters, me, Anusato. What's absent in the Pasuk is Bito. So that's what the Gemara wants to know. Bito mi novan. Where do we know Bito from? So the Gemara says, no problem, it's a kavachomer. If the granddaughter is your chayav for, certainly for the daughter you're going to be chayav for. It says, v'chichon shin min adin. Wait a minute, we don't do onish or punishments through a kavachomer. So what that there's a kavachomer over here? That's no benefit to us. So he says, no, galuye milta ba'almahu. This is not a kavachomer, it's a galuye milta. I mean, that what would you think? You think that Abaye's position is this. That's us. Since it's a granddaughter, then certainly the daughter. That's a kal v'chomer. The Gemara says, no, that's not the case. Why is the granddaughter asur? You say, avat bat bincha, ubat bitcha lo tegale. Why not? Because they are derivatives of your daughter. I mean, if your daughter is not asurah, then your granddaughters would not be asurim. The only reason that the granddaughters could be asurin is because the daughter was asurin. So since they are derivative of the daughter, if they are serene, it's clear that the daughter is also asura. So that's what the Gemara says. It's a gilui milsa ba'almo. It's not a new limud here. It's not a kal v'chomer. But rather, it's a pol yotze from the fact that the granddaughters are asurot. So too, the daughter must be asura. So Rava says, offers an alternative shot. Amar li, Rabbi Yitzchak bar avdimi, ache heina heina, ache ozima zima. So this is the Gzeir Shavu we saw before, which is that over here, by Bat Bincha, Bat Bitcha, when it says, Evat Bat Bincha, Bat Bitcha, Lo Tegale Ervatan, Ki Ervatcha, Heina. So that Heina, we connected with the Pasuk later on, which is Evat Ishau Vita, Lo Tegale, Bat Vinavit, Bat Vita, Lo Tikach, Lo Tegale Ervatan, Shara Heina, Heina again, Zimahi. So that Heina teaches it, just like by the woman, it's Bita, Bat Bita and Bat Vina. So too, by the man, it'll be Bat Bincha, but also Bitcha. I mean, that's the Gzer Shavah teaches you that it's both daughters and granddaughters. Then the other Gzer Shavah of Zima Zima is not really related to this exactly, but teaches us that there's a din of Sreifa by them, because just like by Ervat Isha Bita, we learn out Zima, from the Zima that's found by Isha Sheikach Isha Vetima, that they get Srefa. So too, since they get, the woman's children will get, you get Srefa for, so to his children you get Srefa for him. So that's a double Gzerah Shava. So Rabbi says that the source is Gzerah Shava. Tosfos asks over here, everybody points out that Abaye, what, does Abaye learn this Gzerah Shava or not? Because he still needs the Gzerah Shava for the Srefa part of it. So it's a little unclear why Abaye is, even if he has the Gzerah Shava, why he's searching or why he is giving this Kal V'Chomer reason rather than just simply stating that I have, that we have the Gzerah Shava, like Rava says. Okay, now, the Gemara brings a third possibility about the source for Bito Mi Anusato, which is Tani Avua de Rabbi Oven, the Fi Shaloda Mado de Bito Menusato, which Rachak Tuv Lomar Uvat Ish Kohen. So now, we don't have Bito Menusato, it's not obvious. So that we get from another Pasuk, which is the Pasuk in this week's Parsha, Pashatem Mor, which is Uvat Ish Kohen, Kitechel is not, et Avia Ich Michalalet, Veish Tisarev, right? Veish Tisarev. So over here, it's a Bat Ish Kohen. So what is the word Ish doing over here? Bat Ish Kohen. Why is it just Uvat Kohen? So that's what the Gemara says. Imad bat kohen, right? Hebrew sreifa, vein bola b'sreifa. So now, if you learn it out from this pasuk, bat ish kohen. So this extra word of ish is going to teach us bat ish. Right? Not only is bat kohen asura, but also bat ish is asura. So if it's your daughter, even if it's your daughter mianusato, then it's still restricted. Bat ish kohen. A bat kohen gets a din of sreifa. And a bat ish will also get a din of sreifa. But what's the din by a bat kohen? A bat kohen gets sreifa, but her bo'ala, the one who sleeps with her, does not get sreifa. He gets chenek. So then also over here, maybe the din should be that she, the daughter, is besreifa, but the father only has a din of chenek. So what's the, so what, that's what the Gemara is asking now. Ima bat kohen hi besreifa, vein bo'ala besreifa. She's like a bat kohen, she's besreifa, but the husband, the person who she has the affair with is not a din sreifa. Ap bito manusato, maybe it's bito manusato too. He besreifa. She'll have a din sreifa, vein bo'ala besreifa, but the father will have a din in chenek, or some other din. So why is it? So Amar Abaye, Amar Kra, the pasuk says, et avia hi mechalelet. Because why does a bat kohen get punished with sreifa? Because she is profaning her father. Mishich mechalelet et avia. Right, that the only one who has this type of distinction is someone who profanes their father. That's not true here, because here it's avia mechalala. The father is the problem. She's, by the case of bat kohen, she is profaning the father. Over here, it's the father himself who's profaning the daughter. So over in that case, avia mechalala, that, okay, he will get the same din as her, and everything will be sreifa. So now, Rava says, I don't understand the limud. Bishlama hatam, I don't know why you need the pasuk at all. Bishlama hatam afikte midina bat kohen v'ukim ne'adina de bat Yisrael. Because over there, the bat kohen gets a din in sreifa. The bo'ala, the one who has the affair with her, he has what din? So we say, okay, he can't have a din of sreifa, so we take him out of the parsha of sreifa and we put him into a regular bat Yisrael, which is bechenek. Right, if it's an ara, murasa, it would be beskila. Right, so we'll put him with the regular classification of Yisrael. So you can take him out of Sreifa and put him with the regular classification. The problem is, because there's two problems. One problem is that she's a Bat Kohen. The second problem is that she's an Eshet Ish. So I'll take her out of the Parsha of Bat Kohen and put him into the Parsha, I'll take him out of the Parsha of Bat Kohen and put him into the Parsha of Eshet Ish. Over here, there's only one problem. Is that it's his daughter. There's no other problem. She's not married. She's a Pnuya. So if you take him out of the Parsha of father-daughter, there's nothing left. There's nothing left to punish him with. So Rabbi says that just because of that, you won't differentiate. Over there, you remove him from the Parsha Bat Kohen, you put him into the regular Parsha of Eshet Ish, or Naram Rasa. Hocha, Dina Daman Mukmitle. Right, what are you going to do? Okay, so we'll take him out of the Parsha of Arayot, of a daughter. So what? Adina de Pruya Mukmitle. You're going to dump him into the Parsha of a single woman. Single woman, there's no Isur like that. There's no Irva there. So because of that, of course he has to remain in the din of Parsha of Sreifa. Now, Azhara Levito Manusato Minai. So now we know what the Onesh, or we know that Bito Manasato, where do we know the Azhara from? Bishlam Allah Bai Virova. Bai and Rav, it's no problem. Eichad and Nafku Onesh, Matam Nafku Azhara. Just from like the similar to the way they learn out the punishment, they learn out the Azhara. meaning that because they have the gzera shava, or because of the limud that granddaughters have the same din as a daughter, I mean the gilui milsa by the daughter from the granddaughters, that will teach us that the azara applies just like the onish applies. So we don't have any issue now. We have an azara and we have an onish according to both of them. The problem is for the third possibility that we offer, which is avuah the Rabbi Avin. Why does avuah the Rabbi Avin? Where does he get an azara from? So latani Rav Avuah d'Amai. So Amar Rabbi Lo, Amar Kra, al techalel bitcha lahaznota. So we learn that from the pasuk, al techalel bitcha. Do not profane your daughter. Lahaznota. So lahaznota we would have written, which is the Goyimar is going to ask in a second, this question, which is lahaznota sounds to make her into a harlot. I mean, to have her have bi'ah or do actions or acts that make her into a zona. But over here now the Gemara is learning, al techalel et bitcha, do not profane, one should not profane their daughter, lahaznota, to have znus with her. So that's going to be the azhara, is going to come from this pasuk. So now, Gemara says, ask the question, Matki Flo, Rabbi Yaakov, Achua de Ravacha Bar Yaakov, Hayat de Chalel Bit Chalas Notala Hachi Udata? That's what it comes for this Azhara over here? Hami Bayile, we need it, Le Gedanya for the Brice, Ate Chalel Bit Chalas Oz Nota. Right, that, Ate Chalel Bit Chalas Nota, do not profane one's daughter to Aznota, to make into Zunos Yachal, but Koin Amasiyat Bitola Levi Bisrael, Katu Medaber. I would think it's speaking in better case, where a Kohen gave his daughter over to a Levi or Israel, talking about chulin profane from moving from Kodesh into Chol, meaning a Bat Kohen who's now married to Israel Levi, which will make her into a, right, no longer accessible to Truma and the Karbanot. She's not a Kohenet anymore. So that you would think is the chilul. No, that's not. We're talking about chilul shebiznut. The profane is coming through Znut. That's what's generating the profane over here. So Mar says, no, it's with Moser to be told Shalol L'Shem Yishut. It's for a person who gives over his daughter not to be married. He gives over to a man, but not for marriage. So that's Znut. That's the classic kind of Znut that we're talking about here. It's making her into a Zona. Making her into an Ozona. That's the restriction of Samir. Ata Chalelet B'Chala Aznota. Mar says, and we had a similar limit before, Imkein Limekra Ata Chel. Right, that he could have written Ata Chel. My Ata Chalel. Shmamina tarti. It's true. Atachel is enough to say do not profane. Atichalel is do not profane twice. So one, do not profane comes to teach you do not give your daughter over to be a zulna, to give her over to a man, not the shame yishut. And the second, atachel the zanota, it comes to teach you that an azhara for one's daughter, bito mi anusato, that a father cannot profane the daughter. Right, that's the warning, is atachalel bitchala has nota. Right, so now, the Gemara says about Abai and Rava, right? Abai v'Rava, hi out techalel bitchal aznota. My avdilei, what do they do with this pasuk? I mean, true, they need it for the limud of the brisa, which is that you can't give over, one cannot give over their daughter shelo l'shem yishut. But now that you have al techalel, means that there are two limudim. What's the second limud that Abai and Rava are going to do with this? So that's Kedetanyo. They have a brisa. At chalel bitchad aznota. Rabbi Leizer Omer zeh masiv bito lekatet zaken. This is a person who marries off his young daughter to a much older man. Rabbi Kiva Omer zeh masiv bito bogeret. This is a mashahaya bito bogeret. I'm sorry. This is someone who keeps his daughter around. Well, even when she's reached the age of bogeret, he keeps her around. He doesn't let her get married. So these are, that's Atchalel B'tchal Azanota, and what they're setting up, according to as Rashi explains here, both Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Kiva are describing situations where you're going to put the daughter in a precarious situation where it's more than likely, or more likely than not, that she will be Mizaneh. Because if you give her to a Zakein, right, the Zakein is going to be, number one, less interested in her, also less interested in Bi'ah, and therefore, she's going to search for, whether it's companionship or bi'ah, she's going to search outside of her marriage, and that's going to cause her to lahaznota. So that would be it's a mismatch in the marriage. And Rabbi Kiva says a similar thing. Someone who keeps kind of bogeret, this is a girl already who's reached the age of bi'ah, age of ishut, at least in the time of the Gemara, and therefore now when he holds her around and he keeps her and doesn't let her get married, her only alternative for carrying out her desires or for need for companionship or for bi'ah is to be laznota, to do znus. to perform Znus. So both of these are what they would learn from there. Amar Rav Kahana Mishum Rabbi Akiva, here's a third limut, which is, Ein lecha anish bi Yisrael el rasha arum, v'mashe bito bugeret. There's no ani Yisrael, there's no ani Yisrael, right, that isn't either is a rasha arum, a naked rasha, which I'll discuss what that means, we've had the terminology before, v'mashe bito bugeret, the one who keeps around his daughter who is a bugeret. So when Gemara says, Atu Mashiach Bito Bokeret, Lav Rasha Arumhu, well, the fact that you categorize them into two different categories, one is Rasha Arum, and one is Mashiach Bito Bokeret, implies that one who's Mashiach Bito Bokeret is not a Rasha Arum. So it doesn't make sense. And so Amar Abaye, Hochi Gamar. This is how to read the statement of Rabbi Akiva. The statement of Rabbi Akiva is such, Ezu Ani Rasha Arum, who is an Ani, who is a Rasha Arum? Ze Mashiach Bito Bokeret. This is the one who keeps around his daughter, who is already a bogeret. Why? So that's what over here Rashi explains again. That what does it mean that why is it ani rasha? Why is it ani rasha room? Why isn't it any rasha room? What's unique about the ani? So Tosos points out over here we have many times that the Gemara uses the term rasha room, but this is the sole case where it says ani rasha room. So what's unique about an ani that is mishael bogeret? So Rashi explains top Rashi on the Amud Bet should be shvil aniut marshia. Because of his poverty, he does something wrong. What's that? So what does he do? He keeps his daughter around to be his, basically his shifcha. Instead, he needs someone to help out. He needs someone to help out in the house, to help out with the whatever the items or the avodot that the daughter does. So instead of hiring a shifcha, the shamesho, instead he ends up hiring or keeping his daughter around. When he does that, he puts his daughter into a precarious position again and puts her into a position where it's more likely than not she will get involved in znus. So that's why he's called an ani, rasha, arum. Alright, so now we have, they are using this pasuk of al techalel et bitcha leaznota, bayin rabba, not only to teach you that you're not allowed to, give your daughter over, shelo l'shem yishut, but number two is that also that you can't put your daughter into a position where it's more likely than not she will end up being mizaneh. Whether that means marrying her off to a zakein, whether that means keeping her around when she's a bulgaret, neither of those are appropriate, and they are violations of al-techalelet bitcha lehaznota. Right now, the Gemara continues and has another memra, or additional memrot from Amar Rav Kahana Mishum Rabbi Akiva, because that was the last memra we have. Here's an additional memra from him. Abi Zahir min ha-yoatzcha lefi darko. Number one, be careful of people who give advice to you for their own benefit. I mean that if a person has personal interest, or is no gea badavar, when they give you advice, be suspicious or suspect of such advice. I mean that you want advice from an independent party who has no interest here, versus a interested party who then is their advice is suspect because their advice might be tainted by their personal interests in the situation. So
in this case, not to get married.
Right. I mean, I don't know if that's necessarily I'm not sure that's the context in which it's said, but that's true also in this case. Right, that if he's keeping her around for her own benefit, right, that it's not necessarily for her benefit, it's for his benefit. Correct. Now, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Marav, Hamasiyat Bitola Zakein, so this is connected to what we said before, Rabbi Kiv, that Rabbi Shmuel, I think it's Rabbi Eliezer. Right, this is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer about what's Al Techalel Mitchala Aznota. That amasi et bitol zakein, ve'amasi isha livno katan, or someone who takes an older woman for his minor child, ve'amachzir aveda l'kuti, someone returns an aveda l'kuti, alav ha'katuv omer, and then the pasuk says, leman svot harava et hatzmeya, lo yove Hashem sloach lo. Right, this is talking about the beginning of Parshat Nitzavim, when Moshe is basically telling them, don't think that you can say, but I know, everybody else is going to keep this, but in my mind, I know what Hashem's saying, but I'm going to go and do bad, and I'm going to do this. Moshe says, don't worry, Hashem's going to catch up with you, because if a person wants to go and do bad, and thinks he's going to go worship Azara, the man svot harava et atzmeya, in order to connect, or put together, the harava is either drunkenness, or moisture, et atzmeya, right, with the, to the thirst, or to that which is dry, right, if you add the drunkenness to that which is thirsty already, or you add the moisture to that which is already tzmeya, which is already dried out, lo yoveh Hashem sloach lo, Hashem will not forgive him. So the Rashi over here, if you see, Rashi interprets the pasuk according to its pashup shad. He wants to explain what does it mean here by avodah zara. So Rashi says by Rava, he says ovdei kochavim shesveim ve'enam tzmeim liyotzram. Talking about avodah kochavim that are satisfied and they don't have a thirst to get closer to their creator. Tzmeya azu knesset Yisrael tzmeya v'te'evad yirat yotzra l'kayem mitzvotav, that they really, right, they're thirsting for closeness with their borei and to do his mitzvot. So that's what it means over there. Lo mitzvot, you're going to put together, right, a rava, the one who thirsts for a kodesh baruch hu with the tzmeya, that it's dry. So that's what it's talking about in terms of avodah zara. Now, the three things that are mentioned here as a masi shali ibn akatan, a masi at bitol zaken, a makzir bitol kuti. So in terms of masi at bitol zaken, we already discussed. Giving his young daughter to a much older man is a, right, inappropriate marriage. It's going to lead her to want to leave the marriage or have extramarital affairs. Same thing is true the other way around. If you take a woman, a much older woman, the bino katan, you're going to run into the same problem, which is bino katan is going to have no interest, right, in beyond the companionship as much, and the older woman will, and therefore that will cause her to want to be mizaneh tachtav. Tosfos, that's just a basic question about... We say that you're not allowed to marry off your benoa katan, that you can't marry a katan because he doesn't have a din of biyan, therefore it's going to make it a din of biyadznus, meaning that since he doesn't have kinyonim. So Tosfos in the end there says no, that if the father marries him off, that it's okay because katan shesi oviv, isha ktubata kayemet. There is a real ktubah, that he can generate a ktubah and it takes him out of the parsha of biyadznus. So that it's only if the katan does it himself that it's a... shows you that it's a good marriage and that it's not bilad znut. That says that, okay, so they could be. So now, what's the problem with a magzir vidalukuti? And that's where you always say, because you're promoting rishut v'olam, that you're giving back aveda to somebody who's already a rasha. So that the pasuk says, mansvot ravai tzmeya, why are you giving back to the tzmei, the rava, the one who is moist, why is he giving back to the dry, why are you putting them together? So there'll be Hashem shloach lo. So I always do this whenever we have like a sugi like this, a machzer vidal kuti, which is the halacha that technically one would not have to return an aveda to a kuti or to a ben noach. I always bring it here, I'll bring the halacha from here. The Sefer Mitzvah Gol, the Smag. I always bring in the Smag, which is a very, very important and famous Smag. But first we'll be in the Rambam. The Rambam brings down halacha like this. Avidat Agoy, this is Rambam, Hilchot Gezela, Perakut Aleph, Halacha Gimel. Avidat Agoy, Muteret. Comes to Avodah Goy, you get from here, it's pretty, Avidat Agoy is Muteret. Because it says, Avidat Achicha. Right, that it's a din in Bnei Yisrael. To return to Avidah is a din in Bnei Yisrael, because it's Achicha. I mean, it's a pact. It's a social pact between all Jews that we're going to take care of each other and we're going to give it back. So if you're outside the pact, right, you're not subject to those rules. So it's Avidat Achicha, but not Avidat Kuti or Avidat Benoach. And someone returns it, harizeh over aveira. So what? Yeah, just like this, our Gemara over here, you're over aveira. Why? You're helping out those that are rishayim. Ve'im hechzira lekadeshet Hashem. A person returns it out to be mekadeshem shemayim. Kadeshi faru Yisrael at Israel. So people will praise. Look at this way this Jew acts. He returns things. He does right what is right. Then ve'yadu shehem balei emunah, and they will realize that these are honest people, upright citizens. Harizeh mishubach. This is a wonderful thing. Omer makom sheish chilul Hashem, avaydautau asura v'chayav lachzira. If there's any chance that this will lead to a chilul Hashem, then you must return the aveda. You may not keep the aveda. V'chol makom achnisim kleihem mipnei aganavim. Anywhere we help them out by protecting their possessions from thieves. You see your neighbors, non-Jewish neighbors, possessions that could be stolen because they were left out by accident. Their kids left the bikes there and somebody's going to steal them. You could take them into your house to protect them. Mipnei darchei shalom. Because that's a normal way that neighbors would behave. So since that's the case, we would bring it in. So now, the Rambam continues, Alocha dalet ta'uta goy k'aveda tato. If he makes a mistake in his cheshbon, then as it didn't like the aveda, umuteret, like aveda's muteret. Behu shetame atzmo. That's only if the ben Noach, the kuti, made the mistake himself. Aval lahatohoto asur. But for you to actively cheat him or trick him, that's clearly asur, because then it definitely will lead to what we call chilul Hashem. And ketzad, what's the case here? Gon shiasa goy cheshbon v'ta'a. Goy does the cheshbon, makes a mistake. But tzarich shumar lo yisrael re'ei shal cheshbon chan yisomeach. Because then he could just say, listen, I was relying on your calculation. The guy did the calculation. You say, I was relying on your calculations, and that's not a problem. I only know what you say. Whatever you tell me, that's what I gave you. If he doesn't say to him that, asur, shemit kaven agoda vadko. Because maybe the non-Jew is trying to test him. So even when the guy makes a mistake, it has to be in a manner where you just say to him, I'm relying on your cheshbon. Not that you're saying, the guy makes the cheshbon and you know it's clearly wrong. And then you go and say, okay, I'm going in with it. Because maybe he's trying to test whether you're a really honest person. Because he's trying to say, oh, I make a mistake, that's obvious. And see if you get, you know, you're going to correct him or you're just going to walk off with it. So you have to be very careful. As the Rambam says over here, you have to be extremely careful. That the Avedah, even though it's muteret, to keep the Avedah of a Benoach, that first of all, if it's a Chilul Hashem, there's nothing to talk about. That you have to take care of it. Number two is, if you actively are able to create a Kiddush Hashem, harizeh mishubach ha-mifuar, better return it than create the Kiddush Hashem than to keep it. Even though mi'ikar adin of choshen mishpat, you'd be allowed to keep it. But midin yoredeya, midin Kiddush Hashem, you would have to give it back, or you should give it back in order to create the Kiddush Hashem. So that's the Rambam. So the Smag, and the Aseh, Mitzvah Aseh is Ayin Dalet, he writes, Mitzvah Aseh La'ashiv Avidal Yisrael. Like that, that's the halacha, Zikar HaGalacha, Ashiv Tuv Jivim Le'achicha, right? So therefore we learn Achicha. So then he writes here, and it says, Kvar Garashti Le'galut Yerushalayim Asher B'Sfarad, already gave a drasha to all those that are found in Spain, L'Shar Goliot Edom, and everybody's, you know, the Goliot Edom that are found around Europe. Giada. Now, Sheerich HaGalut Yoter Midai, Galut is Torah, Yishti Yisrael, Zavdil Mehavle Olam. They should leave all the, right, the unnecessary items of the world and all these distractions. V'lechoz b'chotamo shal HaKodesh Baruch Hu Shu Emet. And to go with the stamp of Hashem, which is truth and honesty. Shalo l'shaker, not to lie. Lo l'Yisrael, velo l'goyim, not to lie to Jews or non-Jews. Velo l'hatotam b'shum inyan, to not cheat them or cause them, you know, to trick them in any way. U'l'kadesh atzmam af b'mutar lahem, and to make kadosh themselves in things that are even mutar. Shenemar, it says in Tzfanya, Sheirit Yisrael lo yaseh avla v'lo yidabru chazav. Tarmit. Mean that you the Sherit Yisrael, the remainder of those that were put into Galut, will not do, you know, they will not do evil, they will not lie, they will not, no trickery will be found in their mouths. When Hashem comes to redeem them, Yomru Agoyim Bidinasa. Hashem was right in what he did. Kihem Anshe Emet Vitorat Emet. Right, that's what the women say by Bach and Nehru. They made it into a song now. When they daven, they should be Anshe Emet. That the children should be Anshe Emet. This is here. Anshe Emet, the Torah, Emet, Befihim. These are honest people. And Torah, Emet, Befihim. Avalim Yaguim, Agoyim, Biramaut. If they cheat their non-Jewish neighbors, Yomru. Ru, Ma'asa, Kodesh, Baruch, Hushu, Bachar, Lechalko, Ganavim, Ramaim. Shem comes to redeem them. Ah, look, he picked all these thieves and cheaters. Right. So he said, why would it be? So now, v'zaratia lebaretz klum zarei adam kur achad elim tzol kamakurim, kach zarei akosh brochu et Yisrael baratzot. So too Hashem plants the Jews amongst the nations, k'dei shitosu alim gerim. So the gerim odonah v'chos ha'am she'em mitnagim b'hem b'ramaot mi davek b'hem. Right? Who's going to come join them if they're a bunch of thieves and stealers? I mean, that if people look up to them because of their behaviors, then they will join them. If they look at them and say, who wants to join a bunch of, right, tricksters and thieves? Vahare hikpir HaKadosh Baruch Hu gezel rishayim. Hashem is makpid even on the gezel of rishayim, shenemar, but tamalei haaretz chamas. These aren't good people. That's the people of the Mabul. And they're killed for chamas, from stealing from each other. They were all rishayim. Yet Hashem is makpid on that. So Koshkin over here, say that's the din here, or even though what the Smag says, Mi'ikar din, like the Rambam says, Mi'ikar din, that Avedat Goy is muteret, nevertheless, there's a far more overarching reason not to keep the Avedat Goy, which is the Kadeshem Shamayim. That's important to be Minayeg Be'emet, Lifnim Mishuret Adin. So even though the din is notain, that you're allowed to keep in certain instances, or you're allowed to not speak up in cases where that he made the mistake, and then you have to speak up. But by speaking up, you show how honest and the Kiddush Hashem that's created, he says it's so worthwhile, that should be the overarching issue that will take us out of this galut. The Smag is saying that there's a requirement, if there are people to be Anshei Emet, doesn't matter, right? Like you're saying, it doesn't matter who the victim is, you need to be Anshei Emet, is how you act, not how the victim acts. And then there's a secondary issue, which is that they might also be influenced by your actions, and then you'll be an Orla Goyim. Shulchan Aruch in Choshen Mishpat, Simen Shem Mem Chet, as a difficult and controversial psak, because the question is what his source is, but you can clearly see that he's taking a similar type of approach that the Rambam did and the Smag did, which is Kol Agonev, Afilu Shaveh Pruta Over Alav. Anybody who steals, even a Shaveh Pruta, is violates Alav, Delotig Novo. V'chayav L'shalem, and he has to repay it. Echad Agonev Mamon Yisrael, O Agonev Mamon Shel Goyim. Makes no differentiation between a Jew and non-Jew. Right here, questions the Shulchan Aruch's Peshat and says, "Taut ovdei kochavim, kol natoto b'cheshbon lafkiya havato mutar uvad shel yivadalo." As long as he doesn't know about it, it's like a chilul Hashem. Again, he mentions the chilul Hashem aspect. The Yeshamim dasur la'toto. You can't actively cause him. That's the Mordechai and the Rambam that we just saw. Elaim ta'am yatzmo. If he makes the mistake himself, shari. You see, the Ramah is already questioning the Shulchan Aruch's psak, because we know that the Gemara and the Poskim are slightly different. I think the Shulchan Aruch over here says, lo tignovu, just don't steal. It doesn't matter whether it's a Jew or not Jew. But I just say it similar to the idea that we had before, which is that lo tignovu should not be a ganav. I mean, that doesn't matter. Again, the victim should make a difference in your actions of being lo tignovu. And then, since we're doing Pirkei Avot, that's similar to the Rabbeinu Yonah on Emet, that mentioned in Pirkei Avot, that one of the three things, right, that the Olam Skarim is Olam Emet. So there, the Rabbeinu Yonah says on his Perish to Masechet Avot, that, of course, one cannot lie. But he says even there, even for a joke, or even for, you know, something where it's clear that it's not intentional lying, that he's trying to trick someone, that person shouldn't lie, because it shouldn't be malamed Sheker. He should be teaching himself to teach Sheker. It's just something we don't do. So, you don't steal. You want to be Anshei Emet. You want to be people who are honest and truthworthy and upstanding. You don't steal from anybody. So just wanted to give you a quick feel for that. Giving here the Gemara, just what he says in the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, and the Smag. Right. So is it really true that you shouldn't marry off your young son to an older woman? So was Ha'ev et Ishto Kigufo, one who loves his wife as much as himself, and someone gives honor to her more than himself, is what does Rashi say, give her wonderful clothing and jewelry, and that you give her more than you would take for yourself, someone who guides his children to be good, right, to do what's right, keep Torah mitzvot, and to be honest, samuch le pirkan, and then one who marries them off close to their coming of age. Allah katuv omer, on him the pasuk says in Yov, yatata ki shalom alecha, that there will be peace in your tent, ufagatra navicha, and you will, right, instruct your habitation, velo techeta, and nothing will be missing. Meaning that this is a good thing. So now you're saying, if you can marry bino akatan here, you're marrying them off. You might say, samuch the berkan shiny. Samuch the berkan is, close to the coming of age. When they're close to the coming of age, for a couple of months, meaning that, if the Tam Bio is going to come in when they come of age, then to wait, if it's Samuch Perkam, it's within 6 months of their coming of age, then the wife is not the Kunim Mizaneh because of that 6 months. That's not the time. It's when it is a long duration of problems where the marriage is, right, there's an inconsistency or incompatibleness in the marriage, that's when you're going to have a problem with Nus. For a short period of time, we don't worry about it. So therefore, the Samuch Perkam is okay. We're not talking about Beno Akatan, which is really Katan, meaning much longer than Samuch Perkam. Right now, Tana Rabbanan. Hoevet Shechinav, one who loves his neighbors. Makarevet Krovav, takes care of his relatives. Banosed Bat Achoto, and marries his niece. Vamalve Sela Lani Bishato Chako, and someone who lends money to an ani when he is in trouble. Alav Akatuv Omer, and him the Pasuk says, Az Tikra, Vashem Ya'ane. He will call out, and Hashem will answer. This is from Yishayu Nunchet, which is actually the Aftorah for Yom HaKippurim Shachris. And there, the earlier part of the Pasuk is which is really probably the most that the Gemara does many times. Only quotes the end of the pasuk, but the beginning of the pasuk, or the pesukim actually before that, are alo parus ra'ev lachmecha, to make sure to outstretch your hand to give the hungry, the poor, to take care of them and feed them. Umi b'sarcha al titaleim, and then from your own flesh, do not look away. So now these are all manifestations of umi b'sarcha lo titaleim. From your own flesh, do not look away. So what's mibsarcha? That's shcheinav. That's krovav. That's batat choto. These are all relatives. Don't look away from them. Meaning that, take care. Rashi says shcheinav is kikrovav. That's it. Because he quotes the pasuk from Mishle. Tov shachein karov me'ach rachok. So that a close neighbor is better than a distant relative, a distant brother. So he says that all of those come from Mizkarcha Titalim, and although Pareis Lorev Merachmecha is teaching about the Ani, that you have to outstretch your hand to take care of the Ani. So then it says, as if you do all this, as Tikrav Hashem Yaneh. So that's why the Bryce is bringing these examples, which are examples of the Sukkim beforehand, and that's where as Tikrav Hashem Yaneh. And then you'll call out and Hashem will answer. The Tosfos just raises the issue and says, wait, why is it that when you give money to a ani b'shato choko, that's good? Because we have a gemara in Chagiga, in the first parak of Chagiga, which says tzarot rabot ra'ot. What are tzarot rabot? Zeh mamzi ma'ot ani b'shato choko. That's someone who presents money to an ani at the time of need. So wait, over here you're saying giving money to an ani in the time of need is right. That's good, and over there it says it's bad. So Tosu says, well, there's a difference. Over there, it's talking about where the government's coming to collect their taxes from him. And the rule of the government was, if he had no money, you didn't have to pay the taxes. So you go ahead and lend him money, so the government has taxes to find, then they come, they take his money, now he owes you money. And then you come to collect from him, in the end you end up taking his fields and all of his stuff because you lent him money. So over there, it's done for ill will and done in a right ill-gotten gains, and you're trying to get take his property away from him. Over here, Shato Choko is where he's in trouble and he needs the money. It's going to help him out. all right. So now the Rashi has a slightly different interpretation over there, which is the Rashi says that's talking about a person who gives ma'ot to anibe farhesia, right? And mamsi ma'ot Shato Choko is the question of when you give it to him. Shato Choko, it depends what. Do you give him the money b'shata chako, when he needs it, but the prices have already gone up? It's the time where the food prices have already gone up, or the grain prices have already gone up, and now all of a sudden you show up to help him out because he's in need. Or do you give him the money? What we're talking about over here is b'shata chako, is that when the prices are cheaper, you give him the money so he can buy at the cheaper prices. So there's two different types of shato choko. There's a shato choko, which is when he's in need for the money, he's desperate for the money, but it's not the best time to give him the money. Right. Or as you're giving the money when b'shato choko, when he could use the money and it would be his benefit. It's do choko, because if he doesn't do it now, he's going to have to pay much more later. So those are two different types of do choko that Tosfos brings from Pshat and Rashi.
It could be the urgency, or it's
okay, very good. Yeah, exactly.
Urgency, now is the right time.
Right. The Shato Chokok can be timing-wise versus, and also pressure-wise, meaning that right. I think that's what you're describing. Actually, describing those in different ways. Right now, this is my focus, Tanur Rabbanan, between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, that we brought at the beginning of the sugya, right after the Mishnah. We said, Rav and Abaye argue about Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, and therefore, who will be the author of the Mishnah? So here's the braisa that they were talking about. Tanur Rabbanan says in the Pasuk in Kiddushim, it says, "V'ish asher yikachet isha ve'etima zimahi be'ish yisrufu oto ve'ethen v'lo tiyeh zimah b'tochchen." So oto means him, ethen means them. So who are the them here in the pasuk that are getting sreifa? So now that's the braisa. Tanur Rabbanan, oto ve'ethen, oto ve'etachat mehen divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Mishael says, no, it's oto means him, ve'ethen means one of them. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Oto Vechtehem. No, Oto means it, the him and both of them. Mabinayu. What's their machokas about? So Amar Abaye Mashmaut Dorshim Ikebenayu. They argue about how to learn the word Eten in the Pasuk. Rabbi Shmuel Savar Oto Veten Oto Vetachat Mehen. Eten means one of them. Shekem Lishon Yivani Korim Lachat Hina. Because Hina or Hain is, you know, that is one in Greek. And therefore, eten means et hen, one of them. So that's the way Rabbi Shmuel learns it. So it's him and one of them. Because you're talking about isha ve'et ima. So one of them is permissible, the other one is impermissible. It's either the mother and the daughter, or the daughter and the mother. The first one that you married is fine. It's the second one that's the problem, and that one will that individual plus the woman, the second woman that he marries or has the affair with, will be get the punishment of Sreifa. On the other hand, Rabbi Kiva Omer, V'eim chamuto midrasha atya. If that's the case, then the pasuk is talking about his wife and his mother-in-law, because there's only one of them that's asur. His wife is permitted. His mother-in-law is the impermissible one. Eim chamuto. Where does he learn out the restriction of eim chamuto? That he'll learn out from the gzeirah shava that we had before of zima zima heina heina, to teach you three generations. So that we'll know from somewhere else. Rabbi Kiva savar oto ve'et shtei hen. Him and both of them. That means that the pasuk's talking about the im hachamuto kachaptiva. If both of them are put to death, it can't be him and his mother-in-law, because his wife is not restricted. So it must be that it's talking about his mother-in-law and his mother-in-law's mother. That's the way we learned the pasuk for im chamuto and im chamuto are what the pasuk's talking about. Isha ve'et ima. The woman is his mother-in-law and ima, her mother, which is im chamuto. So they're all written in the pasuk. Rav Amar, chamato l'achamitayka b'nayu. Rav says that no, the difference between them is chamato after death. Because Rav Yishmael says, chamato l'achamita b'sreifa. That chamato, even after the death of his wife, still has a din of sreifa. Because the pasuk says, oto ve'ethen. Ethen is one of them, again according to Rav Yishmael. So one of them means that even if only one of them is still alive, you are chayav. So even though only the mother-in-law is still alive, there's still a din of sreifa. Rabbi Akiva savar itzura bi'alma. Rabbi Akiva says, no, oto ve'ethen. Oto means him, ethen means both of them. The only time that you're chayav sreifa is when ethen, they're both alive, both your wife, and the one's wife, and the mother-in-law. In that case, you'll be chayav sreifa. But achar mita, if the wife's dead, then you don't have ethen. So then there won't be a din of sreifa. According to Rashi over here, that means that there's no din sreifa, there's no din karet, there's simply an isura ba'alma. According to the Rambam and other Tosvot and other Rishonim, that means that there is still a chiyuv karet, there is just no chiyuv sreifa. So there is still karet, and there is an isur. But according to Rashi, this is simply an isur, because at hand, you require both of them to be alive in order to get the sreifa, in order to get the karet. And then Raz Rashi points out, Eim Chamuto, according to both of them, we're going to have to learn out from the Drusha, the Gzeirah Shavah. Because now Eim Chamuto, according to Rav, is not mentioned in the Pasuk at all. And that's what the Gemara asked on the Mishnah, who's the author of our Mishnah? Who's the author of the Mishnah who doesn't say? Because according to Rav, Eim Chamuto is not mentioned in the Pasuk. So if the Mishnah says, Isha Uvita is a Surin, then the Mishnah is clearly saying Chamuto and Eim Chamuto are a Surin. That's what's written in the Pasuk. Who's that according to? That's only according to Abaye, according to Rabbi Akiva. Right, Abaye according to Rabbi Akiva, it's written in the Pasuk. But according to Rava, there's nobody who thinks that Eim Chamuto is written in the Pasuk. So Rava in the end amends the Mishnah to read, Aisha, right, it's Ima Shinasa Bita, or Isha Shinasa Bita. In the end he does say that. It's only the problem is only the mother-in-law, the Bita, or the daughter that you married is fine. And so he amends the Mishnah to deal with that problem. Right, next Mishnah. Mishnah says, Ve'eloha Neharagin. These are those that get Saif. Right, these are people that get saif. I mean, we dealt with skila, we just dealt one mishnah with sreifa, and now we're up to saif, which is the next in the gradations of mitot beisdin. So elan eragin, a rotzeach, a murderer, anshe yirei nidachat. Those are a whole city that was taken, you know, to was convinced to worship by Barzera. Rotzeach shika et reiu be'evin u'barzel, hit him with a rock or a metal. Bekavash alav l'toch hamayim, that he pushed him into he held him in the water. He stopped him from coming out of the water. Or the toch or, right? Or he kept him in the fire. Ve'en yochol la'alot misham, and he can't escape. Umeit chayav. Over there he is chayav. Dachafo l'toch hamayim, he pushed him into the water. Or the toch or into a fire. Ve'yochol la'alot misham, and he has the ability to escape. But for whatever reason, this time he's unable to escape. Umeit patur. There you're patur, because you're a groma v'alma, you're not actively killing him. Shisa bota kelev, if you sick the dog on him, or shisa bota nachash, or a snake, patur, because there again, it's a grumble of the alma, heishich bota nachash, if you hold the snake and you put him onto the arm of this individual to bite him, Rabbi Yehuda mechayev, v'chamim potrim. Rabbi Yehuda is mechayev, v'chamim potrim, as a machlokas there, we're going to see later on in the Gemara, about the poison, or the snake's venom that comes into the body, whether it's already present in the snake or only comes afterwards, and that'll make it whether it's a grumma or it's a derech kisharin. Right, Amashmo. Miplay ma lonemar yad bibarzel. Why is it by the word yad is not mentioned by barzel? Because in Parshat Matos when it talks about the murder or the cases of murderers, it says, if he kills him be'evin yad, be'kli eitz yad, so over there you have to take an evin yad, something that you can hold in your hand, the size of your hand, a rock the size of your hand, or some sort of wood object the size of your hand. So now, what happened? Why by barzel? It says, in barzel, it says, im'kli barzel hiko. It doesn't give you any shi'ur. Why is that? Because, that the answer is, because for barzel may meet, b'choshil, metal can kill even with the smallest amount. I mean, metal has no size. There's no minimum size of metal as we know today. I mean, that here at the 20th time of the Gemara, today we know that most weapons are built out of that. The mezman, whether it's shrapnel, whether it's bullets, the smallest amount of metal can cause, you know, death, as opposed to wood and stones, which have to be a certain size to cause a death. So Tani Nami Achi, Rebbe Omer, Galoi B'yadu Lifnei Mishomar V'ayah Olam, Shabazel May Meet B'choshil, Defikach Lo Nidna Torah Bo Shi'ur. Now, the Gemara says, Hani Milei De Barze Mivraz. It's only if he uses the sharp edge. And that if it's done because of the piercing of the metal, then it can kill at any size. But if you take a flat piece of metal and bang the person on the head with it, right, that's equivalent of taking a stone or wood and banging them on the head. That's just using the material to the blunt side of the object. You're just using it to hit the person. Then it's not going to be any size. It has to be a size that would kill. The same thing with Eitz and Evan. What is that? He held them in the water. That he kept them there. Reisha Rabuta Kamashmalan. The Sefer Rabuta Kashalan. Reisha is in a Chiddush, and the Sefer is a Chiddush. Reisha Rabuta Kamashmalan, that it teaches us, Afagav Delav Iudachafo. Even though he wasn't the one to push him into the water or the fire, nevertheless, if he holds it in, came in, he holds Alot Misham Womait Chayab. Since he restrained him from coming up, he's Chayab. Sefer Rabuta Kamashmalan, the Sefer teaches us, Chiddush Afagav Delachafo. Even though he pushed him in, came into Yechol Alot, Misham Umeit, Patur. He's Patur because he had the ability to come out for whatever extraneous reason, whether it's someone else holding him in there, or for some onus, this time onus, he's unable to come out this time, therefore he is Patur in this case. Now, Kavash Min Alon, how do you know that you're Chayav when you hold somebody or you suppress them in these places? So Amar Shmuel, Makra, the Pasuk says, O Be'eva, O, and the Pasuk of O Be'eva comes to be a Ribuy, the Rabot, Et HaMitzam Tzein. Is that comes to include somebody who squeezes or restricts the access or movement of an individual, and because of that they die. Now the Gemara says, "How gavra? The mitzamtzma the chiyuta the chavre b'shimsha umeta." This person restricted the movement of his friend's animal, and then because of that the animal stayed in the sun, and the animal died from dehydration from exposure to the sun. And now they want to die. So now Ravina Mechayev, Ravina says he's Chayav. He's Mitzamtzim. He's Mitzamtzim. We see from the Pasuk by Rotzeach that you are Chayav. Ravacha Barav Amar Patur. So why? Ravina Mechayev Kavachomer. Umar Rotzeach Shlosa Bo Shogeg Kamezib Onis Kiratzon. By Rotzeach, where you need intent. And you need to do it willingly. Over there, we say you're only Chayav in those cases. But if you're a Shogeg, or if you're an Ones, right, in those cases, you are patur, or you only go to galus. So over there, we say still mitzamtzeim is chayuv. But what's that mitzamtzeim? Over there, when you limit the movement of an individual and they die because of that, you're chayav nizakin. We're talking about damages. Shasabeh and shogeg kemezid monas kiratzon. Right, and there they made the din of a shogeg as a din of a mezid, and a person does it by accident is like he did it willingly. And we know this from even someone's adam is mu'adli olam. Adam, no matter what he does, is always chayav. He's responsible for his actions, no matter why those actions happen. Whatever damage is caused, whether by accident or not by accident, he's responsible for his actions. So I know din shechayav ben etim mitzam tzeim. Then certainly over there, you should be chayav for being mitzam tzeim. Over there, by limiting movement that causes damage, you certainly should be chayav. If by rotzeach, which has a higher threshold and a higher standard to be punished by, we say mitzam tzeim is enough to be mechayav you, then certainly by nizakim, which have a much lower threshold in order to be considered culpable, then certainly mitzam tzeim should be chayav in that case. Ravacha barav puter, Ravacha barav says you're patur. Why? Because I'm a Rav Shashi, my time of the avua, the abo, what's the reasoning of my grandfather? The puter, I'm a krav, pasuk says, mot yumat hamakeh, the one who gives the blow will be put to death. Rotzeach hu, he's a rotzeach. Rotzeach hu dechayev lan mitzam tzeim, minizakin lo chayev lan mitzam tzeim. It's a miyut. Only by rotzeach do we have a din of mitzam tzeim. By nizakin, we don't have a din of mitzam tzeim. So just before we stop, we have just two important Tosfotim over here. Which is that Tosfos takes issue with Rashi over here, that the Barzel, that Rashi says, as I explained in the Gemara, that the Barzel Mizbraz, that he pierces him with the metal, is what causes the death. I mean, the pointiness or the sharpness of the metal, what's causing the death. Not the, but if you use the blunt side, then it has a din like Evan and the Eitz. So if that's the case, why is it unique to metal? Any sharp object, like a coat, something like a splinter or a thorn, you should be able to do the same thing, because as Rashi points out, you can poke a very sharp piece of metal into someone's veshet, into their esophagus, or into their hearts, and that'll cause them to die. Right? Obviously, even the moach in their heads, anywhere, they'd be there. So it does say that's the case. You can use a coat, can do the same thing. So why are you talking about metal? You can talk about any sharp object. So Tosfos, on the other hand, says that he brings from the possibility, Nira Mishom de Barzla Mizrach Zorif, that metal causes very deep and sharp cuts. And because of that, that's why it's Mechayev, because of the deep, sharp cuts that it causes, not necessarily because of the pointiness of the metal, meaning the sharpness of the very fine point, but rather because of the way that it does damage. Now, the other one is this Tosfos, which we've seen a number of times. Tosfos discusses this, that there are actually different gradations of onus. Different gradations of onus. Over here, the Gemara says, by nizakin, by any types of damages, you are chayav for onus. So it says, well, that's not always true. We find instances where a person is, cases of onus, where they are patur in nizakin. So it says there are actually three, there are different gradations of onus, which is that there's onus which you are totally patur for, and there's onus where you kind of should have been responsible or should have been more careful, and therefore you are chayav. So for instance, if a person goes to sleep, and in their sleep they do damage, the Mishnah in Baba Kama says that you are chayav. So Tosfos says, well, there's a difference. Yushalmi draws a distinction. If when you went to sleep, there were kelim around you, and then your sleep you damaged those kelim, yes, you are responsible. On the other hand, if you went to sleep and there are no kelim there, and after you were asleep, others or a third party brought the kelim over there, there you're going to be patur. What could you have done? There you're complete onus. Complete onus, we don't expect from you to have to pay. And Tosfos brings other examples of that, that there are instances, even by nizakin, where you are patur. And that Tosfos makes the comparison, and that he says that just like by Shomer Chinam, Gneva and Aveda are pturim. Gneva and Aveda are pturim because those are cases of onus. So how do we know when you are patur, when you're not patur? So Tosfos says over here that the Gneva Krova onus, that when you're a Gneva, Gneva is much closer to the type of onus where you are patur, because that's really out of your control. Whereas Aveda is Krova lepshia, is closer to Pshia. So if your onus is closer to Aveda, like the onus of Gneva, then you're going to be patur b'nizakin. If your onus is more like Aveda, which is also an onus that is patur b'shomer shchinah, nevertheless, by nizakin you will be chayav, because over there, you should have been a little more careful. If you should have been a little more careful already, then you're going to be chayav. So it's actually an important Tosfos over here, you know, that makes that distinction in. But the Gemara here takes it as like a given. That by nizakin is oseh ben shogeg kemezid onus keratzon, as if that's a complete din, that there's nowhere any onus by nizakin. So it says that's not true. There are different types of onus, and therefore there's certain onus that where you will be chayav, which is ones that you could have prevented or should have thought of, or might have been, you know, karod pshia like aveda. There's types of onus where you are going to be chayav, which is more like neva, where it was totally out of your control. Things where you had no, couldn't have any premonition that it would happen, and therefore, in those cases, you will be patur. Okay, we'll stop over here.